Well, this morning we're going to go through the book of 2 John. It was written by the Apostle John. And John has a kind of a specific style. He has a way of writing, but he also has some themes that primarily he focuses on in a lot of his letters. And one of those themes is love. Love. John's a big, big love guy. And so we're going to spend some time this morning really looking at what does it mean to love. As I was doing some research and some study this past week, I came across a song. I don't know if anyone's ever heard it. It was written by John Lennon. It's a famous song about love. Anyone ever heard of a song like that? Can you think of one? All you need is... Da, 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 da. You right? Yeah. According to Jesus, that phrase is actually pretty accurate. John Lennon had it right. All you need is love. Although I'm not really sure if John fully understood what he meant when he said love in that context. It's not at least the way that Jesus meant it. Speaking of John, the Apostle John, see what I did there? The Apostle John wrote this letter. It was written as a letter to a church, to a local church. In fact, if you look at the very beginning of the letter, it says, "The elder," that's John, "to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth." And so this could have been written to a specific woman, a lady that's unnamed, and to her children. That certainly could be the case. A lot of scholars think that it was just a way of John addressing the church, just referring to it as a feminine to the church, and all the members or people in that church, her children. And at the very end of the book, you see something kind of similar. "The children of your elect sister greets you," kind of like another local church that I'm with greets you as well. In any case, it certainly is a letter written by John through the power of the Holy Spirit, preserved through the centuries, millennia for us this morning, and when empowered by the Holy Spirit, can change us, can change our hearts. And so I just want to pray that over us this morning as we're getting ready to launch into God's Word, that we receive it as God's word, and that the Spirit brings it alive to us. So, Father, we come before you now, recognizing that we need you to work. We need you to teach us. We need you to instruct us. We need you to correct us. We need you to enlighten us, open our eyes. And God, give us faith this morning to believe what you say is true. Holy Spirit, please work inside of our hearts. Bring thoughts and feelings, and specifics maybe even, into our minds this morning that you want us to understand and to know and to believe, that we may honor you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me give you a little roadmap of what we're going to do this morning. So we're just going to cover really the first half of 2 John. We're going to go through verse 6 primarily. And I'd encourage you, if you have time this week, go ahead and read the rest and spend some time in the rest of the book. A lot of what we're doing this morning and what we're going to be spending time on applies and is unpacked in other parts of the book. But we're, for this morning, going to be in the first 6 verses. And I have really 2 main points, 2 things I think are emphasized by John in many of his letters, but certainly in this one as well. So these 2 points are pretty simple. The first is that truth and love are inseparable. Truth and love, they're connected. My first point. And the second one that we're going to unpack is that love, specifically to love one another, is walking according to Jesus's commands. Love is walking according to God's commands. So let's launch right in. We're going to start at the very beginning. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. And as I do, I just encourage you, pay special attention to how John uses love and truth. Look at where he uses the word truth, look at where he uses the word love, and look how they maybe are functioning together. "The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. C.L. John's using truth and love, at least a lot, even if we fully don't, can't unpack it all, but just in reading it through, do you see that truth and love come out very quickly? If you do a word picture of this, of the book of 2 John, you'll see that truth gets big and love gets big. It's used a lot. There's repetition there. And the way that John uses truth and love is he's talking about truth some, he's talking about love some, he talks about truth and love some, is he's weaving them together. And so first, specifically truth, well, what is truth? What does truth mean in this context? What is John talking about when he says truth? Well, truth is certainly the facts. It is what is actually true as revealed by God. So things that God tells us is true. So God created the heavens and the earth. Man was born in sin. Jesus will return. Those are facts. Those are truth. And John is certainly talking about that. But it also includes the reality of who God is. It's not just a list of facts. It's also the actual God himself and who he is truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth. The God-man that lived and died and rose for our sins is the truth. The forgiveness of sins and the infinite grace of God toward us is in itself truth as well. You see, truth is anchored in God. Truth doesn't just stand off to the side here and God knows about the truth. God's just not well-informed or just the smartest or wisest of all beings, and so he has access to what truth is. That's the wrong frame of reference. We should be thinking of it as God is the author of truth. God's the one that created everything. He's the one that decided how the universe works. He made physics. He's the one who decides and embodies what is right and then tells us and instructs what is wrong. So truth, I want you to kind of let your brains and hearts expand a little bit when you're thinking about this concept of truth as talked about by John. It's a huge concept. It's not just a list of true or false questions where you get the right answer. It is everything that God is and he embodies. God is wholly true to himself all the time. That is what makes him truth. And everything that God says is always right. He's never wrong. He's never false. Never counter to who God actually is. So, just stop right there for a moment and just ask you, do you know what the truth is? Do you know truth? Do you want to know the truth? Do you have a hunger to understand what is right and to parse out what is not right? Do you recognize, do we recognize in our own hearts that we might not actually be fully understanding what is true? There might be parts of our understanding or our information or our thoughts or belief that is falling short. So how do we have access to the truth? Well, certainly in God's word. Your word is truth. Do you study it? Do you go to this book empowered by the Holy Spirit, asking God, seeking him, show me who you are. Show me what's right. Correct me where I'm wrong. Church, we have access to absolute truth in God's word. Do you look in creation, in the world around you? Are you seeking to find understanding of how does God work? What about God do I not fully understand or see right now? Are you hungry for that? Do you seek that? The opposite would be maybe just passive of just, I'm not sure if I understand or not, or I think I've got it, God figured out, or I understand how the world works. I think we're good. I've been a Christian for a long time. I'd encourage you, seek truth. Run to God for truth. Look to him for truth. He is the truth. And I want to draw a distinction here that understanding the truth, understanding what is true, is not the same as believing what is true. You see, I understand, I have an understanding of how long it takes me to drive from my office to home. It's very simple. It's a simple mathematical calculation. How many miles it is, what the speed limits are, how fast I drive, what the traffic looks like. I understand that. I can document and explain it to you. I totally get it. However, when my wife calls me and says, "What time are you going to be home today?" In that moment, I do not believe that it takes me actually 40 to 45 minutes to get home. I believe it takes me 15 to 20 minutes because somehow I'll get there faster today. You understand the difference there? It's like what I know isn't actually functioning. In that moment, I could document and explain to you why it takes 45 minutes, but in the moment when I'm talking with Casey and she's asking me what time I'll be home for dinner or when I'm going to leave, I don't actually believe what's true. And so in the same way, if we believe the truth, then that truth has an effect in us. It does something to us. If it's functioning inside of our hearts, if it gets inside of us where the way we think lines up with what is truth, then we're going to act on that truth. We're going to think in response to what is actually true. And the way John sums this up is he says, that is love. Truth having an effect, taking action, taking the form of doing something, can be summed up by just saying, that is love. When I act toward another believer, when I act toward another person in truth, as John would say, walking in the truth, then I am acting in love. Truth and love are connected. And look with me in the passage, verse 1, truth in love, whom I love in the truth. Okay? Verse 3, grace and mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father, and Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and love. In verse 4, he commends the church for walking in truth. In verse 5, he says, keep doing that and walk in love. Do truth, do love. And I'm making such a big deal about this because I've heard it said that believers need to strive to find a balance between truth and love. Truth and love. Even when I was reading some sermons and some notes, some authors say, well, the main point of 2 John is he's saying that they have a lot of truth, but they don't really have enough love yet. Or the counter, some people have a lot of love, but they just don't really have truth functioning. And church, I would just say that I think that is absolutely false. I think that is not what John is saying. I don't think that's what the rest in the whole of Scripture teaches us. I think truth versus love is a false dichotomy. There's no tension between the two, and I don't think John draws a contrast between love and truth. What I mean by that is this. The more that we know God, who is the truth, the more we understand who he is, we get that truth inside of us, the more that we will love. The more that love is going to flow out of us. As we grow in understanding and believing the truth of God's immeasurable grace, his forgiveness, well, then we're going to embody grace and forgiveness toward others. As we really believe the truth that people, humans, all are created in the image of the infinitely valuable God, then I'm going to act toward other people as infinitely valuable because they were made in the image of God. As we believe the truth that sin is to be judged and is completely destructive, then if I see my brother being destroyed in a pattern of sin, then I'm going to try to persuade him to win him back. I'm going to try to explain his error and his ways and how sin is destroying and corrupting and destroying him. Truth and love are linked tightly together. They're not separated. You can't have too much of one and then not the other. Because you have too much truth, now you're pushing love down. Let me put it this way. To know the truth and not walk in love is to be deceived. It's to not know the whole truth. If you know the truth and you see it as truth and you do not walk in love, then the truth isn't true to you. Or on the other side, to love another person but have the absence of truth is hate. It's not loving. If I think I'm walking in love toward other people, but I'm not loving informed by the truth of what God says is right and is good, then I am not loving that other person because I'm not in line with what God says is love. So maybe just reflect for a moment. Are you trying to love without truth functioning? Or are you holding fast and living in doctrine or what's true or what is right, but don't have love functioning? If your commitment to what is true and right causes you to slander or backbite, defame, be harsh, be sharp-tongued, or demean another person, then, my friends, you're not committed to the actual truth. Or if your commitment to love another person causes you to ignore their sin or to be silent when they speak falsehood or give them whatever they want, even if it goes against what God says, then you're not committed to actual love. Because Jesus commanded us otherwise. If we think that we maybe have a love problem, I'm really good on the truth. I get the doctrines. I understand what's right. But I just feel like love doesn't really function in my life. Then maybe we need to flip the way we're thinking. Maybe we actually have a truth problem. And the reverse, I think, is true as well. In verse 4, in fact, I'll just go ahead and read it. John says, "I rejoiced greatly to find your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father." So here John is commending them for walking in the truth. He's rejoicing greatly. He's overjoyed. It's like John is saying, fantastic job. I'm excited to see that you're believing the truth and walking in it. And look what he says then in verse 5, though. "So now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new command, but the one you've had from the beginning." What does he ask? "That we love one another." I think what John is doing, he's encouraging them. I'm excited to see, I've interacted with some people from your church, and I'm excited to see that they're walking in the truth. They're doing it. But don't give up. Don't stop. He even includes himself in the "we," that we would love one another. He's like saying, great job, you're walking in the truth, you're walking in love. Now let's walk in the truth and walk in love even more. Let's love one another. And church, that's my primary encouragement for us this morning. Let us pursue the truth of Jesus more, and let's have more love squirt out of us when we do. Let's get more of the truth of who God is. Let's behold him. Let's really see him for who he is. And let's get love to pop out. Let's get love to happen when we're interacting with one another. In verse 6, by God's grace, he gives us even more clarity and practical encouragement on what it means to love one another. Verse 6, look at it with me. "And this is love." Okay, great. I wanted to know. "That we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." I think essentially what John is saying here, he's using commandment and commandments a couple different ways. I think the commandment is to love one another. And the commandments are to sum up all that Jesus, God, has taught us, has instructed us. I think he's basically saying, you were commanded to love one another. And by the way, I know you know that. You've had this command from the beginning. But let me remind you of what love actually is. Love is doing, following Jesus' commands. So John's linking love now to commands. Commands and love. He's linking those together. And friends, love is all the commands as well. He doesn't just say a subset or, you know, those four commands. He's linking it to the whole teaching of God's word, the whole teaching of Jesus. What has Jesus told us to do and to live? I don't know about you, but when I read that love is walking according to God's commands, what comes to mind when you think of commands? I think mostly about the ones that I do okay at. Love means not murdering someone. Check. I'm good at loving. Love means not stealing. Okay, check. Don't steal often. I think I'm doing okay with the love. Okay, good. But then if we keep considering the counsel of God's word and what Jesus has taught, well, love means confessing my sins to others. Okay, not the most, maybe best love person. Love means bearing one another's burdens. Friends, love is doing all that Jesus has commanded us. Not just the commands that we can easily follow or the ones that we can check off. It's all of Jesus' commands. And there's a lot. There's a lot in here of the way that God has instructed us to live and to walk, especially with one another. I'm going to give you a couple reminders, and then we'll open up the one another sheet as well. But a couple from other passages. Luke 12, don't be greedy. Love is not being greedy. Do not lust. Obey your parents. In Ephesians, love means obeying your parents. Do not be anxious. Don't show off your righteousness for other people to see. Love means humble yourself before others. Go ahead and crank out your one another sheet if you brought it with you or if you have it online. Let your eyes just kind of glance across these as well. Love means honoring one another. Number four there. Love means outdoing one another in showing honor. Number nine, love means living in harmony with one another. Love means being kind to one another, forgiving, bearing with one another. Love means encouraging one another. Love means washing one another's feet. You see that when we define love as following Jesus' commands, what that really encapsulates, it's way more than just some feelings. It's way more than just smiling at people or making sure you shake their hand when they come in the door. Love is all of our interactions, and not only our interactions of what we do, but the way we think, the way we feel with other people. As you consider this one another page, and maybe some other commands that come to mind, I'd ask you just right now, if you have a pen or a smartphone, just maybe jot down one or two that come to mind that it feels like maybe you're lacking in, or that is difficult, or maybe ones that you just didn't even know were a command. We're gonna follow up with that in a moment. So just go ahead and jot down one or two that you struggle to obey. Now look with me to verse 6 again. What are we supposed to do with Jesus' commands? What does verse 6 say we're supposed to do with the commands? Go ahead, interact with me here. What are we supposed to do according to verse 6 with the commands? Walk according to the commands. Wouldn't you have just expected to say obey the commands? Commands, at least the way we normally speak of them, are to be obeyed. Right? Obey the commands. If I give you a command, you're supposed to obey it. But let's not lose the fact that John doesn't actually say obey. Certainly obedience is contained in what he says, but he actually says to walk according to fall in line with. Do you guys remember last week, as Matt was sharing this one another scriptures, how we were confronted with the fact that we need our hearts to change? That we just can't do all the one another's ourselves. We can't just pick ourselves up by our bootstraps or will ourselves to one another better or more. We needed our hearts to actually be changed by God. I think in a similar way, or maybe just a different way of saying the exact same thing, is that we need to believe the truth in order to walk according to Jesus' commands. We need to believe who God is. We need to believe what he has revealed as truth, so that it'll come out of us as we then go and do one another, as we interact, as we consider one another, as we think about other people. We need that truth to get in our hearts. We need to be changed on the inside, because we can't just muster up enough grit to fulfill all the commands. And even if we could obey all the commands, we wouldn't be walking in accordance with. We wouldn't be following the spirit of the law, so to speak, and not just the letter of the law. What John's encouraging us to do is to get in line with what God says is true, to get in line with what God has commanded us and what Jesus has taught us. Let me give you an example of not fully believing. When I lash out with hurtful words in a conflict with my wife, Casey, it's because in that moment, I believe that hurting her in some way will elevate me, make me feel happy or satisfied or empowered, maybe. That somehow by me pushing her down, even if what I say with my mouth is technically true, lowercase t, I'm believing something that is utterly false. I am not operating on truth inside of my heart. I'm operating on a lie. I'm believing things that are just not right. The truth that I am rejecting in that moment, among many, is I'm not believing that Jesus is my Lord. I think that I'm Lord. I'm not believing that Casey was made in the image of God and is worthy of my respect and honor. I'm not believing that I'm called to be a servant to others, not least of which is my wife. And since I'm not believing, since I'm not fully believing the truth, I'm not loving my wife. See how they're tied together? My lack of belief in that moment comes out as a lack of love. And so now I would ask you, go ahead and look down at your note and look at the command that you maybe struggle with or have difficulty walking in line with. Grab one of those commands, and can you continue the sentence? Can you say, what truth am I not believing fully? By struggling with this command, I'm highlighting the fact that I don't believe. I know this can be kind of difficult on the spot, and I encourage us, let's continue this exercise this week, but just take a moment. Does a truth come to mind that's not functioning? And then a follow-up question is, do you connect that lack of following that command as a lack of love? Do you see the connection? It's not just that I'm not checking the right box. It's that I'm not walking in line with what God says is true. And what's coming out is I'm not loving other people. We need faith to believe. We need a gift of faith in our hearts. We needed the truth to get inside of us. We need our hearts to be changed. But I have a verse, 1 John 5, 2-3, that I love. I wish we could spend even more time on it. It's a sermon in itself, but the very last line, I think, is really encouraging. 1 John 5, by this we know, maybe we don't have it up front, I'll just read it for you though. By this we know that we love the children of God. This is how we know we love other people. When we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And listen to this last part. And his commandments are not what? Burdensome. Isn't that encouraging? As we fall in line with God's heart, as we fall in line with what is truth, then even the commands, even the list that could seem so daunting and crushing actually becomes freeing. It's no longer a burden. God's commands become freedom from sin. They become the clarity that we need to distinguish between what's right and wrong. God's commands become a compass that shall point us toward what is good and right and true and brings us joy and satisfaction and ultimately God's glory. But we don't yet live or love perfectly. We fall short. Friends, we will fail. We do fail. At times, I do not walk according to the truth. A lot of times, actually. But praise God that we are not accepted by him, loved by him, approved by him on the basis of the commands that we walk according to. We are accepted and approved and loved by God because Jesus, who was the truth, walked according to the truth, loved perfectly, lived the life that I can't live in myself, and took the punishment that I deserved. And so God looks at me with approval as one who's a perfect command follower, one who perfectly walks in the truth. Church, don't lose sight of the gospel as we're thinking about commands. We have to see God's commands in light of the gospel. Right? We don't do the commands to get God's favor. Okay? You should be going like this. Amen. We do not do commands in order to get God's favor. But because we have God's favor on us, because we're in right standing with God, we do his commands. Because he's true. He's the truth. Why would we not do what God says is true? If we believe that he is right, he's the embodiment of everything that is good and holy, then of course we're going to fall in line and do the things that he's commanded us to do. We want to do it. It's a joy. It's freedom. Loving one another is a process. We will fall short. We'll mess up. God's grace covers us in that. I would encourage you, though, let's strive together to love more, to believe truth more. That's called sanctification. That's the process of being a human being saved by Jesus that still has a heartbeat, is that we are walking toward more love, more understanding of the truth, more in line with who God is. And he's doing that work in us. He promises that he's not going to leave us. He's going to continue the work inside of our hearts. That's what sanctification means. We're being transformed to be able to love the way Jesus has loved. I was thinking about this as, I don't know, it's just a funny way that God redeems things that are broken. But even in this church, with the people sitting around you right now, as we fail to love, as we mess up, as we sin against one another, we are given the opportunity to show the very love back that Jesus showed. If I sin against you, and you in turn don't retaliate, and you show me humility and love, care, compassion, long-suffering, well, you are embodying the love that Jesus has shown. You're putting on display. You're walking in love. And then I'm going to be encouraged to walk in love as well. That's what one anothering is all about. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a local church, is we have to be in community. I can't love one another myself. You can't either. But it's bearing and striving, and there's sin and there's messiness and there's confusion and there's a lack of understanding and there's us struggling to believe, but we're striving together in that, in the gospel, united through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's what walking in the truth is. That's what walking in love is. That is what walking in line with Jesus' commands is. And so I'd encourage you to remember that sanctification is interactive. Sanctification is not just a spectator sport. You don't just sit on the couch and finally get sanctification put into you. You don't just get love growing and functioning. What we see commanded in Scripture and modeled in Scripture is that God often works by changing our hearts as we obey, as we seek to obey. There's kind of an interplay here where God gives us enough faith to take a step to do what he says is right, even though we partially don't believe it. But as we take that step, he builds our faith all the more. And then our hearts get changed and we want to obey him even more. And so we take another step. And so it's an interactive process where we understand the truth, we're seeking the Spirit, we're asking to be corrected, and then we're walking in the truth. And our hearts are being changed as we do that. So a question for you this morning, is there a way that Jesus is calling you to obedience? To obey one of his commands, or several of his commands. To fall in line with the truth. To have your heart changed. Is there something he's calling you to do? To tangibly do? And if so, I would just encourage you, right? Jot it down. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you who might bring a specific thought right now. And if so, write it down and do it. Not on your own strength, but by Jesus working inside of you. In closing, I want to go to John 13. Same John, the apostle. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. This is Jesus speaking. That you love one another. So this is the command I think that John is referring to in the epistle that we're speaking about. Jesus said, I give you a new command that you love one another. Now listen to this. Just as I have loved you. That's the new part. We were called before Jesus in the Old Testament to love your neighbor, but Jesus is taking a step forward and even further and saying, love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. In light of that, church, I just encourage us, let's look to Jesus who did this perfectly. Let's look to his example. Let's pray to him and ask him to change our hearts that we would love like he did. But do you see that walking in the truth of Jesus laying down his life, by me getting that inside of me, the way that Jesus walked, the way Jesus laid down his life for sinners, for people who were against him, were his enemies, that he willingly laid down his life for them, that's going to change the way my life looks too. That's going to change the way your life looks too. We're going to willingly lay down our lives for others. And as we do, verse 35, how will people know that we are Jesus' disciples? What will be the mark of Jesus' followers? If we what? If we love one another. Okay, so it's not if we all wear plaid. It's not if we all go out to eat after church. It's not if we meet on Sunday morning even. It's the way we love one another that broadcasts that we are Jesus' followers, that we are his disciples. Church, let me encourage us. Let us walk in the truth of Jesus and then love one another by living what Jesus commanded. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us the truth. I thank you that you are truth and that you are love. Help us to believe it. Help us to walk according to the truth. Help us to walk in love as we live according to your commands. Don't let us leave here the same. We want to be changed. We want to be made more like you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.